Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Apex Theory. We talk about everything Apex Legends. And Lucas is back for another fun episode of Season 8.
Yup, we have some big changes to get into today.
Before we get into our Ask the Legends and reading reviews, we're going to talk about our first thoughts on the season. So, you can take it away, Lucas.
Yeah, so, I'm really liking King's Canyon back. I love the new drop spot. I have some bumpy parts with the new season, but overall, I don't think it's as good as Season 7, in my opinion. But, hey, they say Season 9 and 10 is going to be the big one, so you can't have a super exciting season leading up to it.
For sure. You gotta have that, like, dry season, and then to get everyone, like, down and wanting the new stuff, and then everyone will get hyped up for the new season because it's dry, and then they'll have all the great new changes, kind of like what they did to Season 7 with the new map and everything. Which, if you think about it, is really, really smart on a business standpoint.
Yeah, for sure.
My first thoughts going into the season, though, is I'm getting season two vibes from the background. Yeah, I don't know if you guys played in season two or not, or whatnot, or even remember the background of the lobby, but it's giving me season two vibes. Overall, I am liking the season. But let's get into Ask the Legends.
Yup. So, the first review coming from Wolf with a Wolf emoji 42. So great. 5 stars. I love this. I play on Switch and am so excited for Apex to be released to Switch. Please shout me out. Well, we're giving you a shout out.
Hey, we shout out all of our review writers. And, of course, Apex Theory Ask the Legend segment cannot be the same without our boy, Clutch Kebab. ALGS Playoffs, all caps, like 17,000 exclamation points, 5 stars. Who do you think will win the NA Winter Circuit Playoffs? Well, since we've seen the past ALGS Autumn Circuit Week 1, I gotta say, probably Solo Feed Aim Assist, just because how they're performing in scrims and everything. And on that topic, it's a little bit like, it's kind of weird, because you never see any teams really playing aggressive until Solo Feed Day. But it's like, they've mastered how to play aggressive with the good legend comp, but it's like, they're not too aggressive to the point to where it gets them killed.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's kind of weird how they are able to master it like that. Which,
yeah, for sure.
We'll definitely be into that a little bit later in this episode. Thank you so much for all you guys writing reviews in. Write one next week, and we will read it again. But let's dive into the biggest topic of Season 8 being released with the Legend Fuse. So let's dive into his abilities. His tactical is he can stack 2 grenades. This is his passive. He can stack 2 grenades, shoot them farther and faster than anyone can throw them in normal. That's pretty strong tactical, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'd definitely say that. I'm really liking how they can stack 2 grenades like they did way back when, the older seasons. Because it's like, it's huge. Instead of me carrying only 2, I can carry 4, or 6, or even 10 now. And, I mean, that'd be kind of crazy if you're able to get your hands on 10 grenades, but I'm liking views, but I'm also not. We'll finish his abilities and then talk about that a little bit more. His tactical is, it's called the Knuckle Cluster. He launches a huge grenade that blows up, and it does 50 damage max destroys decoys, black markets, rampart walls, and death totems.
Wow, that's, I mean, that's pretty decent. Like, it's just good to have grenades, like, no matter what. Like, it's just really, like, because sometimes, like, I just don't normally make the sacrifice to carry them. To have that as one of my abilities, that's pretty strong and interesting.
I would definitely agree with that. Definitely very interesting. But now, with the big reveal, the ultimate. He can launch... His ultimate is very surprising. It's basically a wall of fire that you... It slows you from running, kind of like a thermite. So you can't really run, you can only walk. And it can launch all the way across the firing range. Like, it's insane how far this thing can go. And it's like... really surprising. Like, you, no one expects it, but it is definitely very, very loud, just along with this tactical.
Yeah, that's interesting, because if you rotate early and see teams that are rotating late, they're going to have to go through the fire, or else they're going to hit the ring, and that can be used for any time of the game. Like, late game, that's really powerful.
Exactly. And it does 75 damage max, not an insanely powerful ultimate, but still pretty good.
Yeah, for sure.
So now, onto the Anvil rounds, being brought back into the game.
Yeah, so Anvil rounds, man, they're very interesting. They go on Flatline and R301. But the big question is, are they better than G7? I mean, they have slower fire rate, but more damage. So what do you think, Jameson?
Well, here's the thing. It also uses... So, like, when you're shooting one bullet, it takes up two in your mag. So, I don't know. It feels a lot different in my hands. I don't really like it very much compared to the G7, because I feel like with the G7, I can dish out more damage than I can with an R301 or Flatline with on Anvil, because of the faster fire rate with the G7, and the damage is still really good. So,
yeah.
I'm probably would still stick with an R301 or Flatline instead of a G7 for my personal preference, just because I can dish out more damage with an R301 or a Flatline not on Anvil. But you should definitely be picking up the Anvil and R301 for the R301 and for the Flatline. So, yeah, just because I'm able to dish more damage out with an R301 and a Flatline, I'm going to take that over the G7, but still pick up the Anvil rounds on it for the versatility.
Yeah, for sure. Like, it deals slightly less damage, but even if you just need... like, to hit people long range and don't want to eat a bunch of ammo up, that's the way to do it.
Exactly. And another huge change this season is gold extended mags are added to the game, but they take out the gold barrel stabilizer. So my first thoughts on this is like, well, wow, are we going to have more bullets in the gun or what? What's going to be the point of having a gold mag? Then when we get into the game, a gold extended mag reloads itself when you're not on the gun. Whether that's you're running with the gun down or you're on the other side, like, because a lot of times what I'll do is in close range fights or even long range, I'll shoot with my, if I'm rocking, let's say I'm rocking R301 Volt, I'll shoot with my R301, hit fire it in close range, and then I'll switch to my Volt. If I have an extended mag on my R301, it'll reload itself after 7 seconds.
Yeah, that's like, it's very interesting because it doesn't come in use, like long range, it doesn't come in use at all. But it's just interesting to have, like, the close range advantage.
Exactly, so. I would definitely agree with that. I mean, the only advantage that would really happen for long range is if, say, you have it on your wingman and your G7 scout. If you were rocking that loadout, you could shoot with your scout until you run out of bullets within that mag. and then you just switch over to your wingman, take shots with that, then when it's done reloading, switch back over. But that's not really a huge advantage. Like, yeah, it saves you some time, but it's not game-changing, unless it's in really in close range. And
yeah, for sure.
We will be right back with more updates on Season 8 after this quick break from our sponsors.
Hey guys, go right now check out the Courier Creative, and they are a media service and content brand specializing in producing, designing, distributing, and publishing, and creating content that sends a message. So go check them out right now and show them some love.
And we're back with the rest of the best podcast you will find out there. Okay, on a serious note, we have the 30-30 repeater, the brand new gun. Everyone's saying it's going to be a lot like the longbow, but it's really a heavy version of the G7 Scout with a slow fire rate, but a bit more damage. Lucas, take us into this with all the deep dive on the facts and everything.
Yeah, so with the 30-30, you can hit 57 body shot charged up. It's 100 to the head, which, like, if you're picking up the 30-30, you better be hitting those headshots, or else you might as well just be picking up the G7.
For sure.
So it's really interesting. It's, like, got a charge up, like, the triple take. But it really, like, it doesn't have that much slower of a fire rate if you really just charge it up and fire it every second that it gets charged up. So I really like this gun. I will not, like, swap it for any, like, major guns like R301 or Volt or R99, but I think it's a great inclusion to the game.
You won't swap it?
I will swap it.
Oh, I was going to say, whoa there, buddy. This thing's flare being in every hand's an AOGS then. So, my personal thoughts, I'm kind of feeling like Lucas. Like, I like it. It's a fun gun to use, but I would rather have I like the feeling of the G7 better, being able to fire faster and just not having, like, the charge up just feels weird. It doesn't feel very, like, just the shots and everything don't feel very strong. I feel like I'm able to deal more damage with a triple take or an R301 or a flatline or something besides it. But I definitely think it's a fun gun to use. But not really the best.
Yeah, it's now the third loudest gun in the game, besides Kraber and Sentinel charged up. It's so loud, dude. It's pretty crazy.
Okay, it is really loud, though. Like, I don't really understand, though, why they would do that, because the G7 is not that loud.
Yeah, for sure. Like, everybody knows that's it's a 30-30 repeater when it's fired.
Exactly.
Everybody.
I know. It's definitely a good change, though. I like it. It feels more like a pub's gun, though.
Yeah, for sure. And the next change we are going to get into is that it shows your club tag in lobby and on stats now. And, I mean, it's a small change, but I think it's pretty cool. What do you think?
I mean, like you said, very, very small, not really that big, but I definitely think that's cool for whether your club is a clan or whatever it is. I like that. It's a good change for people to see that, not just your teammates who are playing. I don't know. It's not a huge change, so not a lot for me to really say on it. But on another note, for our boy Wolf, 40-something, 46, 45, I don't remember. Apex Legends is coming to Switch on the 9th, and since it's been so late, like it's late that they've brought it to Apex, they're giving out 35 Battle Pass levels for free.
Wow.
So, I'm happy for this because it's kind of nice to not have to only play on console or PC, and but I also think it'll be kind of weird because, like, how am I going to be able to see the enemies from that far away on a small Switch screen?
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
I'm liking that they're giving away the Battle Pass levels, but go ahead, Lucas.
Yeah, like, I like the Battle Pass levels, too. That's pretty good, because, like, I mean, I don't know, Switch is cool. It's definitely neat that you can, just play, like, you don't have to, you know, load your PC, Xbox, just play from there, and, yeah, I really think it's cool.
I would agree with that. I'm also excited for it, because it's kind of like back in the old days where everyone would bring their consoles to each other's house. And honestly, that's what me and Lucas do these days when we go over to each other's house. We'll bring our consoles so we can play together, play Apex together.
Yeah.
But it's nice that you won't have to do that with the Switch. You can just bring that there. And even if you live in the same house, like, I know my brother has a Switch, so now we can play together and not just do swap every game, which will be kind of nice.
Yeah, it's really revolutionizing, like, you know, like, how people, like, have gaming interactions, like, they can bring it to their friends, like you said. It's just really cool.
Exactly. So, on another note, we got mobile.
Oh, ho, ho. Yeah, so mobile will launch anytime in 2021 or 2022. That is huge to expand their audience. And that is, like, I don't know, man. I'm so excited for this.
Same. Because, like, I mean, it just brings back kind of the same thing with Switch. How am I going to be able to tell if I'm picking up a purple barrel stabilizer or a purple helmet? But,
yeah.
And, like, I don't know. We'll see what they do. They might do what some of the other games have done, like COD and Fortnite in the past, where they make the graphics not as good on purpose, so you can see players easier, and so the details aren't as vibrant. I don't know how to really explain it, except just imagine Apex in, like, but if it was made in, like, the 1960s. With 1960s
yeah.
graphics. But, like you said, it will expand the audience amazingly. Because, like, this could expand it to little kids even playing it. Like, I know it's for teens, but
Yeah, for sure.
It really could.
Yeah, here's the thing, though. Like, I mean, you can just play it in your car now.
Exactly.
Like, I mean, like, you could just bring your Xbox controller, because what I used to do a lot was, like, just play shooter games and hook up my Xbox One controller to my mobile device and just boss.
Oh my gosh, that is hilarious. Yo, we could do that ranked. On mobile servers.
No, in Fortnite, though, you get aimbot with controller.
No, yeah, you get aim assist. That's insane.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So now, since we did AOGS predictions last week, and we were going to do AOGS this week instead of Season 8 to give us more thoughts on all of the stuff like we did last season, yeah. But then we decided, well, there's not that many as many changes as we thought and not as much to, like, talk about. Let's just do a quick update. So this is what we're doing. We're doing a quick recap on AOGS Winter Circuit Online Tournament number 1. So first things first, that is absolutely huge going into this. Complexity Gaming, the champions of the Autumn Circuit playoffs, and two of the tournaments in just the Autumn Circuit, did not qualify for week 1.
Wow, that's really crazy. And it makes you think, like, maybe Complexity won as the underdog. Like, I don't know. That's just really interesting.
Exactly. I definitely agree with that because, like, maybe Complexity was really an underdog going into ALHS Autumn Circuit last season. Because, I don't know, like, how can you do so amazing and win 3 tournaments and the playoffs in Autumn Circuit, the biggest biggest Apex tournaments out there, but not qualify for the Winter Circuit? So, I mean, I think there's a lot to take in here besides, oh, well, Complexity's trash now that they didn't qualify. There's a lot more to think about because there's meta, the legend comps, teams adapting, playtime together. There's a lot. So, I think part of that could have been meta because every team from late season 5 to early season 7 and late season 7 and even now was running a Bloodhound, Wraith, Gibby. But then we had a couple teams break open the shell with Caustic and a lot of other different legend comps. So, that is my take on Complexity not qualifying. Now, the huge change to ALHS was, like we said, the maps are only Olympus and Kings Canyon. We said that last episode. What is so huge about this is World's Edge will still be in tournaments. I'm not sure if they're bringing Kings Canyon back to ALHS or not. But World's Edge, as far as we know, will still be in there. It's guaranteed World's Edge will be a map for ALHS. So, basically, since the only way they get to access to competitive Kings or World's Edge will be through scrims. So every team must scrim, basically. But still, a bunch of teams won't scrim. And that'll impact them hugely. So, not much to say on this, really, since we are not pros, but that's definitely huge. And we saw a huge difference in legend comps this ALHS. Team Liquid was running Horizon, Caustic, Wraith. They actually did insane in the first, I don't remember which game it was, but it was at least, it was one through three, one of those. What happens is, I believe there's like 16 squads left. Alperlelli, and I don't remember if it was Flanker or Nocturnal. One of them was running Horizon. Whoever's running the Caustic died. He gets an armor swap. He gets gold. And if you know, Circle goes to Refinery. And if you know, there's that giant, like, it's like a giant tube. I don't know how to say it. It's like a giant stack, actually. Yeah, like a steam stack that you see in factories. If you know what that is, what happened is the Horizon for Team Liquid used their Q, which is their gravity lift, to get all the way up on top of that. And there was no zip lines, no other team to get up there was able to get up there because no other team was running a Horizon. And what happens is he waits up there to get it till the teams all start running into the open. They all run into the open. He throws his black hole down there. It sucks everyone in, throws arc stars and grenades down there, and just starts beaming them with Hemlock and gets several kills. And when I say several, I mean like 5+ kills. That is huge. And endgame KP, and endgame placement points, that is absolutely huge. And it shows you just how good Horizon is actually for comp, if you have the skill.
Yeah, for sure. Like, at the beginning of Season 7, nobody was really playing her in ranked a few times just to see if she was really viable for comp. Everyone kind of was like, eh, about her, and now, like, people are starting to realize that she is a strong legend, and she is a very useful legend, and I've grown to love Horizon.
Exactly. Same with all that. But that did not qualify Team Liquid to win the game. He did not end up winning, but he did end up getting several KP, and I believe third place, actually. But on another note, like we talked, like the review asked by Clutch Kebab earlier, what team said solo fee to aim assist? And this was huge in the Autumn Circuit number one, or Winter Circuit number one this week. Last week, actually. Aim assist, solo fee to aim assist goes insane and gets huge two kills. Like, they get two wins with 10 plus kills in each game. Like, this is huge. I honestly do not understand how they are able to play so aggressive, but not too aggressive to where they get killed. And this must have, like, they must have worked so hard on their calls and everything together, because whenever I try playing with the full group in ranked or even pubs, if I try to go aggressive and go for kills and everything, sometimes we have teammates who won't really, like, want to do that, and they won't, they'll, like, argue with us and then not go for KP and throw the game. So this is just very interesting on how their solo feed aim assist is able to do this.
Yeah, for sure. Like, man, solo feed it, like, I really think that Wraith portals have a big thing, too, with, like, getting high kill games. Just the portal, like, it helps you not to get third-partied, and it's just, I don't know, man, they must be ranking really good Wraith portals to do this.
They are running the God Squad. Like, I know I said Bloodhound cost a Gibby, but Wraith cost a Gibby is actually doing insane, because you don't really need a Bloodhound or even a Beacon character if you're going for kills and not just rotating early to zone and hoping you can get a God spot to get, and then have the kills come to you. But that is all for ALGS to really say. We didn't see much from TSM this game. They played just pretty consistent with placement, got decent KP each game, and overall they got 6th place, but Solo Fide came up with the win.
Yup.
So that was great. We have another change, though, to the map. This is like one of the very few changes to Kings Canyon. We had replacing the gold bunkers that we used to have. We have now small vaults, my bad, with guns and gold items, and you open it with your grenade. So your character will just, like, rip open this little panel, put a grenade in there, and then it'll blow up the doors, and that's how you get in. Thoughts on this, Lucas?
That, I don't know, it's very interesting, because, like, most landing spots I have, like, I normally get a grenade. I think it's a little OP, in my opinion, because you can be getting vaults with gold extended mags and mastiffs in, like, really early game. So, I mean, I think it's a good addition. I go for them frequently, but I don't know.
Sorry about that, guys. We had some technical difficulties, but we'll be right back.
But yeah, like, I think it's a very good addition, and we'll see how it plays out throughout the season.
For sure, for sure. I'm excited to see what changes happen and, you know, just get hyped to level up and ranked and all that. But next, we got Double Tap Hop Up getting Vault. The Evade, I don't know, it feels like a terrible shotgun now. What are you thinking about this, Lucas? Because I know you were the guy who was crazy about Double Tap on Evade.
Yeah. Like, now, I don't know, it's hard for me, but, I mean, it did get a small buff, but, I mean, I really just think that you're just visibly making the Mastiff better.
And, me too.
I don't, like Mastiff, but since more and more people start picking up the Mastiff, you pretty much have to now.
Yeah. Especially in ranked, you kind of have to be running a Mastiff to win your fights.
Yeah, for sure.
On another note, with shotguns and U8s and all that, is I think we really need, not necessarily a new shotgun, but we need a better shotgun to ground loot. Because Mastiff and Peacekeepers are really the only good shotguns right now. Mozambique's, yes, amazing, best gun in the game. I'd take a Mozambique over a Peacekeeper. Not really, no. No one takes peace. No one takes Mozambiques. Not even with hammer point. I mean...
Okay, whoa. I'd rather have a Mozambique hammer point than...
Evade? Same, yeah. Same. That is definitely... If I can get a hammer point and digi on my... And purple bolt on my Mozambique, I'd rather have that than an Evade. But it's still not that good. It's like 48 damage. Which, that's better than EVE 8, because EVE 8, all I ever get is 8s.
You just gotta hit your shot, and you're fine.
I hit my shots. But, okay. Like, I feel like kinda we should just bring back the Peacekeeper to the ground and keep the Mastiff and Peacekeeper where they're at. Just give, like, a very slight buff or nerf to the Peacekeeper's damage, or even nothing at all, and bring it back to ground loot, because... There's no real competition with the Mastiff at this point at close range. Like, that's just my opinion on that, because Mastiffs, like we're saying, you need a Mastiff in ranked, otherwise you're going to be losing your fights, or a Peacekeeper if you get one from a care package.
Yeah, that's true. But, I mean, I don't know. Peacekeeper is an interesting gun. It's good if you're, like, holding buildings, but... If you're in a fight, it's not the best gun.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily agree with that. It's insane with fight if you know how to use it. But Peacekeeper, honestly, if they brought it back to the ground, I would just spend, like, an hour to an hour and a half 1v1ing with someone who's good in, like, either bubble fights or the head glitch in the firing range, if you know what either of those are. Then I would just practice doing that, and then you're set to go in ranked in pubs. You can slay out with the Peacekeeper, like all those pros did back when it was in the ground loot.
Yeah, so the next change that happened this season, it's pretty small. Alternator goes from 15 to 16 damage. That's so small, but, like, why would Respawn do that?
Exactly! It doesn't make any sense. Why are we changing guns one damage? That's not that huge.
Exactly. Like, I don't know, man. Like, I really think that if you bumped it up 3 or 4, then, like, it would be a pretty good gun. Like,
I think if they bumped it up 3 or 4 or gave it disruptor rounds again and put that thing in the care package, it could compete with R99 Volt. And even Prowler.
Exactly. Sometimes, I know y'all are going to think I'm crazy, but I used to pick up Alternator over R99. Just because, I don't know, the recoil, I'm just not good at controlling it.
Okay, Alternator's actually a lot easier to control than R99. So I could see that if you can get it fully kitted. Then that makes sense. But it's actually personal preference in what you can do with both. Like, if you're not amazing with R99... And you can really slay out and control the alternator way better than pick up that alternator over the R99.
Yeah, like the golden alternators at Fight Night.
Exactly. But I think that would be a huge and amazing change for season 8 or season 9 or 10. They need to do this. Give alternator disruptor rounds and fully kit it, and then put that in the care package and take Prowler out. And put it back to normal, like, just how it was in Season 6 with Heavy. Because that would be insane, bro.
Yeah, for sure.
And I would love that. But we got another change to talk about. So there was actually a lot of changes to Legends and even just everything in this game. Except for the map, really.
Yeah, so another change that happened. Another change. So Spitfire... goes from 18 damage to 19 damage, and it is also changed to the longest reload time, which probably needed to happen because it was crazy OP, still is, but I mean, I know a lot of people disagree with me, like an R99 beats it any day, but I don't know, what do you think?
Actually, I would almost say Spitfire is better than R99, depending on how you, if you can control it right, just like I was talking about with the alternator. but I would probably say Spitfire's better than Alternate Air because it's still got slow fire rate like the Alternator, but it's got so many more bullets, and it still does crazy good amount of damage. You can get up to 1,000 plus damage if you hit all of your shots, not headshots, body shots. So that's more than enough. That's almost that's almost two squads with Red Evo.
Honestly, though.
Not to mention if you can hit headshots.
Yeah, like with headshots, you can knock somebody with blue armor with six shots.
Exactly. The that Spitfire is so insane.
Honestly,
I think the God loadout for comp, if you in like ALGS, what I'd love to see is if a team can get like each person to have 200 ammo of heavy and them all rock Spitfire and Mastiff. I would just love to see that. Even in ranked, I'd just love to see how many kills the team can get with rocking Spitfire Mastiff. Because that would be just insanely fun to watch and see.
Yeah, it would. And, it is a ranged weapon, in my opinion. Just because how many bullets it can hold. Like, you can just spray people from a distance late game. Like, not early game, because you don't want to drain a bunch of ammo, because it does drain a lot of ammo. But it can be used as a ranged weapon.
For sure, if you can control that from long range, it is definitely insane. Like, me and Lucas had this happen to us a couple days ago in ranked. I was running Spitfire Mastiff. What were you running? Lucas, I don't remember. Because remember it was the game? Yeah, Volt Mastiff. And I was just beaming kids because we're practicing holding buildings, which has to do with our goal for the week, which we'll get into later. But we're holding buildings now because it helps us get higher placement and lots of KP because the kills come to us. And I was just beaming kids from a really far distance with a 2.4x on my Spitfire, which, I mean, I'd probably rather have a 2x on it, but 2.4x is insane on it from long range if you can control it. And we ended up getting second that game because we killed the third squad left. And then I swapped out for Prowler Peacekeeper because I was running out of ammo. Lucas died, unfortunately, very quickly because he was low HP, and then the storm came. We got armor swaps, but then the last team came in and third-partied before we could get armor swaps, at least before I could. Lucas was able to get it. I wasn't. And so then I had to try a 2v3, or 1v3. Didn't end up working because what also happened earlier that game was our teammate died because we duo queue into ranked, trying to duo queue all the way up to a certain spot in ranked, which we'll get into later, like I said. But yeah, Spitfire is insanely OP. Use it, master it, and you can compete in ALGS.
Honestly.
That's a joke right there. But we got the gold weapons. New changes. So we have the gold weapons for the seasons are the R301, the 30-30 repeater, the longbow DMR, Mozambique, and Spitfire. We got your boy in the Mozambique with gold. He gets to use the hammer points, Lucas.
Yes!
I'm excited to use gold Spitfire. Not necessarily Mozambique, R301, or either of the others, because I've seen the R301 scope on it, and I really do not like a 2-3. X on R301, but I'm excited to see that Spitty in the hands of some really insane players, pro players. That would be really nice, you know.
Yeah, I landed at Gauntlet in ranked at Kings Canyon, and there was a gold Spitfire in the box, and I just tried to Horizon Queue to it, but my teammate took it. I was so sad.
Exactly. That happened to me another day, too. I was so disappointed because I'm really good with Spitfire.
Exactly, man. Eh, what you gonna do?
Exactly. But it was an Octane, too. Octanes are so loot stealers.
Honestly. Shout out to all Octanes. Steal my loot. Yeah, so the next change. We said that word way too much in this episode.
Facts!
Is Horizon's gravity lift going to 21 seconds. That's a pretty big change. And she still has an increase on win rate. Respawn Entertainment's like Code Red right now. They're nerfing her like crazy, and her win rate is just skyrocketing right now.
Exactly.
And she almost has a higher pick rate than Wraith. Like,
it's crazy.
I don't know. I'm speechless.
Exactly. But, I mean, I feel like it's not even really felt. You know? Like, Horizon still feels great, fun to use, and her abilities are still quick.
Yeah, for sure. But the one thing that I don't like about this change, like, you know, if you, like, trying to get to high ground and you mess up, then, like, you can't just redo it, which is kind of sad, but...
And don't mess up.
Yeah, it needed to happen. It had a way too quick recharge.
It did.
She's still one of the best legends in the game right now.
Exactly. But... talk about not felt changes. Wraith's hitbox was changed to a higher hitbox, but I still feel like no one really feels it.
Yeah, for sure.
So, I mean, I don't know. Like, just Respawn, don't even try. I'm going to be actually kind of sad if they try to change it, because I don't really feel like Wraith's hitbox is OP at all. I just feel like it's in a good spot. I don't think there's really... need to change it. If Horizon's doing fine, everyone else is doing fine on getting lots of pick rates, then why is there really a need to do it? I don't play Wraith for her hitbox. I play Wraith because Wraith is a fun legend to play and really good in ranked.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I don't know, man. Like, I don't know. Like, they're trying to, like, do something, but I don't really think it does much, but... I don't know. Like, in shotgun fights, yes, it does make a difference, but it's not, like, too much. So exactly. I still think it is probably the best legend in the game, and, yeah.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, and now we got the 45 HP for Rampart Walls. The Sheila cannon can spin farther now. That, like, everybody said she was statistically the worst legend in the game. And, like, I don't know, I think that brings her up a little bit.
It definitely could, but we will have to see. Yes, Lucas, definitely. Rampart's statistically the best legend in the game. Even though we only had Flavor of the Month to run her in ALGS.
Oh my gosh.
Hey, they did well. For you, of course. And now, we got the Mozambique, a new shotgun that deals 200 to the body every time you shoot it. That is a joke right there, ladies and gentlemen. Use the Mozambique. My tip and trick for the week, use the Mozambique. Okay. On a serious note, another change, sadly, we have to keep saying it. The Octane Jump Pad will launch you higher when you are standing or jumping. Like, so basically, the Octane Jump Pad change is when you slide onto it or crouch onto it, it'll launch you farther, but you'll be lower. But when you are, if you're, like, standing up or just running towards it and not sliding, you will go higher, but not as far. And this is game-changing, bro.
Yeah, for sure. That's very interesting. Like, I love Octane. Like, it's still just a great thing because, like, you can just get out of fights quickly and not have people follow you. But, I mean, I don't know. It's a pretty interesting change. I'm really excited to see how this plays out.
Me too. You can definitely feel the change in... whether that's in the POI on King's Canyon, or just throwing a launch pad down, or jump pad.
Yeah, so now we got the Loba
change.
Black Market can loot the care package. That is pretty crazy.
I know, like... just to be looting the care package and not have to take the risk to go out there and into the open and try to get that.
You can still bait it, too.
Exactly. Someone opens it. Where's my Kraber?
No, all I imagine Loba saying is, you are coming home with me tonight, Prowler.
Oh, gosh. Loba's an interesting character.
Yeah.
We got another change. But this has been, like, this should have happened years ago. We have a 7-season bug that was never fixed until now. And teams, including TSM, have actually died in tournaments to this. Caustic gas will now disappear when he is killed. So basically, to give you an example, what happened with TSM was they're in a cart, and there's the caustic trap set up. TSM pushes into it, kills all the teammates, but before the caustic goes down, he throws a gas grenade, and so all of that team's dead. But the caustic gas stays there, and it killed TSM because of that. So now that won't happen. But thoughts on this, Lucas, for Respawn not changing this for like years?
I don't know. Like, maybe they thought it was a good idea or a inclusion to the game, but then they kind of realized that this is not good.
Exactly. I could definitely agree with that. Like, I probably think that's what happened, is they thought, like, let's keep this in the game as a thing that should be there. But then when people actually start dying to it and competitive and everything, since Apex is a competitive-based game and they want to keep their competitive integrity, they decided to change it back. Sadly, yeah. We have more changes, but this is the last one. The Mirage decoys will now have footsteps. This was added during fight night on accident, but then decided to just leave it in there because it was supposed to come in for Season 8.
Yeah, like, that's honestly kind of creepy. That definitely will make people shoot, and there'll be a lot more bamboozles in the future.
Exactly. So, yeah, no more changes, thank goodness to that. But we got our goals for the week. But this time, we have a small change. Instead, it'll be goals for the season. So now this will be an every season segment, something we will do every time we talk about a new season. Both of ours are the same, actually, this season. It is to reach platinum together in ranked for both splits, and then if we get to diamond, woohoo and that, we get to dive chill. But yeah, tips and tricks now. My tip and trick is actually insanely good. If you are ever in end circle and you're running a horizon, make sure to tell your teammates, or for you, if there's people in the storm or running towards to get away from the storm, throw your horizon ult just behind them, and it'll pull them back into the storm. And if you're late in enough zone, the black hole will stay there for long enough, and they'll die to zone. Like, that is an easy way to get free KP in ranked and pubs, just to have some fun with it.
For sure.
So, Lucas, hit us with your tip and trick.
Yeah, so my tip and trick is, like, take your time when you're using the 30-30 repeater. Like, it for me, like, if you just hit those headshots, you can just two-shot people. It can be really OP if you really take time into putting in into getting those headshots and, you know, take time in firing range just to practice that. Like, 1v1 your friends with it. Like, you can, like, just small improvements will make a really good game.
Exactly. Simple as that. AOGS, here we come.
Yes,
JK,
sir.
JK. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for listening to that episode of Apex Theory. Give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or iTunes. We'll read it on the next episode. Give us a follow on Spotify, subscribe on Apple Podcasts, join the community Discord. We need our first member still. Come on, people. We got no support. Just kidding. There's no problem if you guys still want to join. It's fine. We got another server in the works for something else that'll be cool to use. But go check out Lucas's YouTube channel at Last Cheerio, capital L, capital C, 1E. And check out my Twitch at Knights of Ren 65 with a 3 instead of an E. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Peace.